Praise the Lord. This is tomorrow will be Veterans Day, but I'd like to take a moment here today and read something that I read that I thought was worthy, and just a word of thanks for those who served in the military. It's easy in our hustle and bustle to forget that the freedoms that we enjoy is because somebody is vigilant and somebody every day is protecting these things that we hold dear. And I appreciate that. Regardless of the political scene and what comes and goes, thank God for our men and women in uniform that just go about the business every day. Regardless of who's in the White House, they're out there doing what they're supposed to be doing to protect our liberties. So I appreciate them. And in just a moment, we're going to stand and pray for them. But I don't really know much about Kathy Maxwell. I know that she's an artist or an author. She has written 25 romance books, which I've never read. So no wonder I don't know who Kathy Maxwell is. But anyway, she's also a retired military member. And because of that, she was a Navy officer. And she wrote this, and I thought it was very good. So let me share it with you today. She said, "Thank you for stepping forward when others step back. Thank you for placing yourself between us and danger. Thank you for delaying plans for college and marriage and other opportunities and choosing to serve. Thank you for braving the unspeakable horrors of war. Thank you for sacrificing time with your families and missing those significant milestones the rest of us take for granted. And thank you to your spouses who find themselves living nomadic lives, often far away from the support of their loved ones. And thank you to your children who accept your absence as a way of life and understand they share you with the nation and sometimes with the world. Thank you to your parents who have nothing but prayers to protect you and must now trust you will be safe and that you will offer the best we have to you. Thank you for continuing to support our country once you leave military service by following new careers and becoming the teachers, the clergy, business owners, employees, pilots, civil servants, and so much more that we need to be a successful society. And thank you for involving yourself in your local community, in your state, your country, helping us to solve problems and to create a vision for our future using the skills you learned only during your tour of duty. Thank you for being a conscience to our nation. And thank you for serving as a heroic example of those who we are, reminding us who we are and what we can dare to dream to be. Thank you for your service." Let's stand together and take a moment and pray for our military personnel today, all of the soldiers and all of the armed forces serving many places, many posts around the world, and just take a moment and remember them in our prayers today. Would you do that right now? Jesus Christ, you're the omnipresent God. There's not any place that a soldier's not that you're not there. You're with them every day in everything and in every way. In harm's way, you're there. And your hand of protection can cover them. And when they're lonely, your spirit can comfort them. And when they need wisdom and direction, you certainly can provide that to give them wisdom and direction today. I pray that those that have not experienced you may come to know you. And that those who are Christians today would be strong and stalwart, not only in their service to their country, but in their service to you as well. And help them to shine as lights, as great witnesses to those round about them, that they could know you in a greater way. We pray for our chaplains today in military, that you would help them to be very effective, open up doors of opportunity for them, that they can share this great gospel in ever greater ways. Thank you for these men, for these women, for their families. I do pray your blessing and your protection round about them today, and keep them and guide them and be with them and always. And we give you praise and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated, and thank God for our veterans today. Thank you, those of you that in this congregation served. Thank you for your service and your time. Amen. We're going to be reading today from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 27. And do remember, after service tonight, we will be having a great dinner, supper, whatever. And it'll be for Thanksgiving. It's going to be turkey and dressing and potatoes and green beans and you name it. It's going to be good stuff, great stuff to look forward to. And so do remember that immediately after service we'll be serving that. I know we normally do that in the afternoon, but because of our service in Canton, it makes it difficult to be able to work that in and go do what we're doing there. So we have to readjust our schedule a little bit in order to serve. But that's what we do, isn't it? Amen. That's what we do, is we serve. And so I do remember that. We're going to have a great time, and we encourage everybody to be there. And I know it might be a little sacrifice to have to eat that late, but it'll be worth it. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27 said, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." Amen. The eternal God is thy refuge. That's what I want to take our central thought from today. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Originally, I thought about calling this sermon the triple whammy. Amen. You know what a triple whammy is? How many knows what a whammy is? Just one, two, three. Okay, we're getting better. Amen. I had looked it up. I wanted to know what a whammy is. I know what a whammy is, but I wanted to see what officially a whammy is, and especially a triple whammy. So if a whammy is bad, a triple whammy is really bad. There used to be a comic by that called Little Abner. Anybody remember Little Abner? That's where triple whammy became popular. Was in Little Abner. There was a guy that went around and he whammied people. A whammy is it's a dramatic setback. When you have something in your life that wham, it hits you and knocks you back, that's a whammy. And when you get three in a row, that's a triple whammy. Amen. And a triple whammy, that's a bad thing. Amen. It's hard to survive a triple whammy. Amen. And that's kind of what we have here today against the enemies of Israel, is a triple whammy. Amen. That's strong stuff that the Lord has given us here today. This address that we read here in the 33rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy is from Moses. Almost 40 years have passed now in Moses' relationship with Israel, and so much has transpired, and they've come so far and experienced so much from that day that Moses walked into Israel, into Egypt, and said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go," says the Lord. And of course Pharaoh was not willing to do that. It was the great showdown, and after 10 plagues, finally, Pharaoh said, "Take those people and go." And so Israel, the Bible said, marched out of Egypt with a high hand. Amen. There was high fives all around. Everybody was excited. They were being delivered. Amen. Deliverance is always exciting, isn't it? Amen. And then reality sets in. Amen. And that's what happened to Israel. We're delivered. Well, delivered. Now what do you do? Amen. So they're marching out of the city, and they're out in the wilderness, and there's no HEBs, or there's not any Walmarts, and some people couldn't survive, I don't suppose, without that. But there's not any gas stations, and there's not any McDonald's. None of that's out there, and so they've left all of that behind, and all of a sudden it dawns on them, we've been delivered. Now what? And they're in the wilderness, amen. And God is leading them, and they come to the Red Sea, and the enemy's behind them, and do you remember how God split the sea, dried up the land, and they marched across 8,000 across to the other side, and they were delivered out of Egypt, and the sea closed and destroyed the enemies of the Israelites there, and they washed up on the seashore, and they grabbed their tambourines and did their dances and sang their songs of how God had delivered them. And then they came to Canaan, and the spies went in and came back with glowing reports. But we are their giants over there, and we cannot defeat them. And because of that and their unbelief, God condemned them to wander 40 years in the wilderness. Now, 40 years have passed. Israel is now at the point of conquest. They're standing poised and ready. This is a new generation. The old generation with their doubts and their fears have all perished, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb and Moses. Now a young and new generation stands ready to enter into the promised land. And Moses, the book of Deuteronomy simply means the second letter. The second letter. Because this generation did not hear the first letter. So Moses then reiterates everything that he had said before, all the promises of God, all that the Lord said he was going to do, and the law of God, and the things that were going to be required of them, and the blessings that God was going to bestow upon them. And here they stand ready to enter into the promised land. And Moses pronounces blessing upon the tribes. And then in the 33rd chapter, in the 27th verse, he reminds them, he said, the eternal God is your refuge. Now, there are going to be times when they'll need to know that. Amen. There are times that you will need to know that. Amen. Everybody say eternal. Eternal. What does that mean? As best as I can understand, with my little finite mind, I really don't have a good grasp on the word. I know the definition, but I can't really relate to it, because I live in a world of the finite. Everything has a beginning, everything has an ending, so I really don't grasp a land where there was no beginning and there will be no ending. That's beyond my realm of experience, and I can only grasp the concept, but not really the idea. But there is a place, and God lives there, where there is no beginning and there is no ending. There is a place where there's not any interference by time. There's not any constraints of urgency, because God dwells in that place. So he tells Israel, he said, the God that has no beginning and the God that has no ending, that's your refuge. So what I'm saying today is that any time that you need him, he'll be there. He doesn't dwell in the past. He's not off in the future, but he's ever present. He's right here, right now, all the time. And the beautiful thing about God is he's not just everywhere, but everywhere he is, he's all that he is. Amen. When you get to the edges of God, if there were such a thing, then he would be no weaker there than he is over there. We don't know anything like that, do we? When we get to the edge of things, it's less intense and it becomes weaker. But in God, he's just as strong any place that God is. You're always at the heart of God. You never move away from the fierceness and the power and the glory of God. Everywhere God is, he's all the same. Amen. And And so he said, the eternal God. Amen. When we read of God here in Elohim, it's talking about the supreme God. Hallelujah. The supreme God. And we use the supreme God because there were people that believed in a whole lot of gods. And so he was letting them know there's just one, and he's above all. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a plural. And it's not a plural because there's more than one. It's a plural because it talks about his attributes. It talks about his glory. And you couldn't get that all in one. Amen. It's too vast. It's too glorious. And it's too great to ever begin to comprehend. So he said the eternal God. The one that is the same yesterday and today and forever. The one that has always been and will always be. He's not the great I was. He's the great I am. Amen. He's not the great I'm going to be. He's the great I am. He's ever present, always the same. And he said that God is your refuge. Amen. You know, as human beings, if we're not careful, we can get stuck in time. Usually a good time, as far as our memory. We talk about good old days. And if you don't talk about them yet, you're not old enough, but you will. Amen. You'll remember some good old days at some point in time if you get to hang around long enough. Amen. But you know what's good about the good old days is they were far enough away that we don't remember any of the bad. There were still mosquitoes back then and gnats. Amen. There were still difficulties and it was all there, but we just remember good stuff because they made a mark in our minds. There was something that impacted us at that point in time that it was so positive and so good. It lives in our memory in a select place many years down the road. Amen. But I'm just telling you this today, that you have an eternal God. You don't have to go back in God. You don't have to go back to some time or back to some place because he's always the same and he's always present. And the same God is here right now in all of his power and all of his glory and all of his wisdom and all of his peace and all of his might. Amen. Nothing has changed in God. Amen. Our eternal God, he said he's your refuge. I say refuge. Amen. What's a refuge? Israel had six cities of refuge that God told them to appoint. Cities of refuge. They were cities of mercy. If a person did something wrong or was perceived to have done something wrong, he could run to the city of refuge. And as long as he stayed in that city, he was safe until his case was heard. If somebody accidentally killed a person, he could flee to the city of refuge and he could stay in that city and he was safe there until it was time to hear the case and bring out the facts. He couldn't be touched. He couldn't be hurt. If he got outside the walls, the family could wreak justice upon him. But as long as he stayed in the city, he was safe. So refuge has that concept about a safe place. A safe place. And so he's saying, the eternal God is your safe place. It's the place where nothing can get to you. Amen. It's the place where you have protection and security. It's a place that you can go and your enemy cannot enter in. Amen. We have such places, do we not? And the Bible said we are made to sit in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. I know a place in prayer where the devil can't come to. I know a place in worship and praise that the devil can't be felt and can't be known. I know a place that I can go in my relationship with God that the world doesn't bother me and my problems don't bother me and nothing can touch me there because I'm shut in with God. Behold. Holding his face.
Amen. Yes, we have such a place.
Amen. He said, the eternal God is your refuge. He's just reminding Israel of some things. Amen. You have a special place today that you can go to. And then he said, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Amen. I understand that in the circus, they have this thing called a safety net underneath. Oh, the action's taking place up there. The daring young man on the flying trapeze. And the tightrope walker. And all of the aerialists are performing their breathtaking acts. But somewhere below them, there's a safety net. Just in case. Just in case something should go wrong. Amen. And just in case this is the one day that something should happen, there's a backup. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, God's got you covered. Amen. If it's not enough to have the eternal God as your refuge, amen, that's a whammy. If that's not enough, he said, and underneath, I got some protection there too. Just in case you forget, just in case you don't avail yourself of the eternal God that's your refuge, just in case that you get all caught up and that in the heat of the moment that slips you by, underneath, he said, I've got some protection there too. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad you got a God that thought it through? Amen. Nothing ever takes God by surprise. Amen. God said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? He knows. He doesn't just react to things, but he already has a plan. He acts, not reacts. God doesn't scratch his head and wonder, what am I going to do? God doesn't wring his hands and pace the floor. He already knows. He already has a plan. He's already laid it out. Amen. There's underneath, there's a safety net that God himself has supplied for us. And the Bible calls it the everlasting arms. Now we know that God, as a spirit, does not have arms. He's a spirit being. So that word is there in human form, so we understand it. Amen. Have you ever been caught? Somebody, you failed and somebody caught you? Or you jumped and somebody caught you? Amen. It's a nice feeling when you're falling to have somebody stop your fall. Anybody ever had that experience? Scary, isn't it? Amen. I was helping not too long ago. We were roofing a church and in Kermit, Texas, in hot summertime. And I was up there on the right at the peak of the roof, and I was putting some screws in, and stupidly, I kneeled down on my knees. You don't do that on a tin roof. That quick, I was gone. Yeah, I was falling fast. Amen. I was praying for the Lord to help me or at least find a nail. Something. Amen. And somehow I reached up and I grabbed a hold at the top and cut my fingers, but it was worth the cut just to stop the fall. Instantly, I would have been gone. You see, but there was, I thank God. I wish I had a safety net. And I guess I did. The Lord provided some reflex and I somehow made it. But you know what I'm saying? You've had that happen. When I remember the night that God called me to preach the gospel, and I surrendered. I suppose the call had been there as long as I can remember, but I didn't know. I didn't understand. I had never thought that it could be me. But I remember we were at a service in Nacogdoches, Texas. I was in Texas Bible College. The choir was singing there. And after the service, we had an awesome altar service. And I was all just caught up like everybody in worship. And I just started jumping up and down, just as high as I could jump. And I could jump back then. Amen. There was less ounce to pounce. You know, I could get up. Amen. Amen. Now I can still jump, but just not quite as high. Amen. And I mean, I was jumping. I was young. I was skinny like Brother Wesley. And man, I was getting with it. I was having a time. And all of a sudden, I jumped as high as I could jump, and I fell. Felt myself fall back. And my head hit the floor. And it did not hurt. I felt no pain. It was just like a cushion. And I laid there and talked in tongues and worshiped the Lord. And that was at the moment when the Lord spoke to me again if I would preach the gospel. And I told the Lord, I'll do it, God. I would love to do that. I've always wanted to do that. I just didn't think I could. And I just didn't feel worthy. And when I came to from that relationship and that beautiful time with the Lord, and I looked up, my feet were on the organ speaker about that high off the floor. And I did not feel a thing. That's the everlasting arms. I'm telling you, when you're in the will of God and you fall, He'll catch you. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you dash your foot against a stone, He's going to lift you up. Amen. That's why the Bible talks about that we don't fall away from the Lord. Don't ever fall away. Make sure you're going the right way. And that way, if you stumble, you won't fall away, but you'll fall on Him. You'll fall into Him, but you'll never fall away from Him. Amen. It's so vastly important that we understand that there are some everlasting arms. They will catch you. They will protect you. They will keep you. And then, that's the second whammy. And then the third whammy, He said, and He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. Everybody say, He shall thrust out. That's it. You got to hit that thrust. He shall thrust out. There you go. There you go. Now you're getting it. Now, first of all, we got to notice that He shall. Not you shall. He said, He shall. There are some things I can do. And what I can do, God expects me to do. Brother Holly used to teach us, God can tie your shoes, but He won't. You want your shoes tied, you tie them. Amen. There are some things God requires you to do. What you can do, God expects you to do. Amen. Sometimes in our prayers, we get mixed up and we tell God to do things He told us to do. You be careful when you start praying. Listen to yourself. And you get to telling God to do things that He told you to do. He's not going to do it because He told you to do that. You know what God does? What you can't do. That's what He does. When you've done what He asked you to do, then you can depend on Him to do what only He can do. Now Israel couldn't drive out that enemy. But the Bible said He shall. He shall thrust out the enemy from before you. So what we cannot do, when we do what He tells us to do and we're involved in that work, that's when He steps in. When you preach that He's a healer and there are people that need healing, He'll heal. When you preach deliverance and there are those that need to be delivered, you can't deliver, but He will, and He'll heal. He will deliver. When you preach salvation to the lost and you can't save anybody, but He can and He will. He shall. He will. When you overstep your bounds and you've done all you can do, that's why the Bible said the Lord was working with them, confirming the word with signs following. And when we get to that place, He will. He will. He will thrust out the enemy from before you. Amen. We don't have to live in fear, folks. We don't have to live in fear.
We can live in peace. Amen. It's not an easy lesson to learn sometimes. Amen. We get too locked into seeing things, and sometimes we're influenced by our world and our society, and we listen too closely to what other people say, and we can get caught up in that, and it affects us. But we have to understand that we're different people here today. We're not like everybody else. I said, you're not like everybody else in the world. You've been called out. That's what the church means. You've been called unto, into Jesus Christ. And because of that, you and I, we're an entirely different bunch of people. There's not anybody on the face of the earth like Christians. You're a different bunch. That's right. Hallelujah. That tongue-talking one God variety. You're a different bunch. That Jesus name bunch, you're a different bunch. There's not anybody like you anywhere else on the face of the earth. Amen. But everywhere you are, the Lord is there. Praise God. The Lord is there. The eternal God is there. The everlasting arms are underneath. And he shall drive out the enemy from before you. Praise God. We got some enemies today. Amen. You know what our biggest enemy is? This right here. This is our biggest enemy. Amen. That's it. Your flesh is your biggest enemy. And you know what? Then, of course, the devil's our enemy. And the world system is our enemy. Amen. But not people are not our enemy. People are not, that's not our enemy. That's not it. You can't get too upset with people. We got to love people. We got to save people. So we can't get mad at people and hate people. Amen. Is that right? We got to be careful how we talk about people and talk to people. Amen. If we can get prayed through before we talk to people, we'll be all right. If we can get the love of God in our heart toward people before we talk to people, we'll be all right. You never read about Jesus going out and blistering sinners. Hello? How many ever read in the Bible where he went out and just blistered sinners? I'm just called up a bunch of no good, low life slime balls and just let them have. I mean, just rip them. No, you never read that in the Bible. Now, he did that to religious people. You bunch of snakes. You're like whited sepulchers. On the outside, you're shining in white, and inside, you're full of dead men's bones. I mean, he kind of got down on religious folks, but he was real compassionate to sinners, because sinners were just doing what by nature they do. They were sinners. But when you get out of sin and you get into righteousness, he expects you to be different. He calls you to a higher standard. That's right, Brother Grissom, he does. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So he calls us out. Calls us to higher things and better things, and we are witnesses and lights in our world. It's our job. Amen. But he said, he shall thrust out the enemy from before you. And he did that. He did that. He fought with hail from heaven. He fought with the swords of angels. He fought with the forces of nature. He fought with fear and darkness and blindness. He stopped the sun. Amen. He did all kinds of things. He fought for Israel as they drove out the enemy. And as long as Israel would fight, God would fight with them. When Israel stopped fighting, God stopped fighting too. As long as you'll fight, God will fight with you. The only time God stops is when you stop. He'll not go beyond where you're willing to go. He's not going to step out there where he told you to go. But if you'll go, he'll go with you. You will never go alone. He'll always go before you. Amen. Praise the Lord. He'll drive out the enemy, he said, from before you. God does what we cannot do. Amen. The eternal God is our refuge. I'd just like to remind you of that today. Let's stand together, shall we? The eternal God is our refuge. He's our hiding place.
Amen. There was a contest that was given to paint peace. How do you paint peace? There were all kinds of entries about artists' descriptions of what peace is. But the one that won the contest was the picture of a craggy mountain slope, and there was a storm going on. The waves were slashing against the rocks as the winds drove them, and the rains were lashing down, and the lightnings were flashing. And you look closely on the ledge of that mountain, there was a nest, and there was a bird standing at the edge of that nest, and he had his head lifted, and against the rage of the storm he was singing his song. He was not afraid. There's no fear. In the middle of all of the ferocity of nature, that little bird just lifted up his song. He understood that he had a safe place, and there was a storm on the outside, but everything was on the, right on the inside. That's peace. You see, peace is not, it doesn't matter what's going on the outside. What really matters is what's going on the inside. Somebody wisely said, I'd rather be on a stormy sea with a calm captain than on a calm sea with a stormy captain. I don't know about you, but I've been on both sides of that. I remember living in the storm. Even when everything was all right on the outside, there was still a storm on the inside. Until Jesus came. And when Jesus Christ came in, it doesn't matter if there's a storm on the outside, there's still peace on the inside. That's what peace is really all about. Peace is not the absence of trouble. It's not the absence of adversity. It's what happens on the inside. Amen. And we have the eternal God as our refuge. Amen. You can face storms because he's with you. And the Prince of Peace will give the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody need that peace today? Are you facing a storm? Are you facing a storm? Amen. I told you there's a place, and you know, that there's a place that you can go where nothing can touch you. Nothing can touch you. You can get beyond pain. You can get beyond worry. You can get beyond frustration. You can leave behind your fears. Amen. You can get in that place where there's peace. Amen. There's power. There's a surety. And you just, in that moment, in the Spirit of God, you're lost in that kingdom. And nothing of this world can touch you there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody been there lately? Anybody want to go again? Hallelujah. Oh, peace, peace. Wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. Oh, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father
above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
Sing it again, would you?
Oh,
hallelujah. Oh, there is peace, peace.
Wonderful peace coming down from the Father above.
Sweep
you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I thank you for this unspeakable peace today, this peace that passes understanding. Thank you for it. The Bible said the God of peace would give us the peace of God that passes understanding. So I thank you for that today. What a treasure. What a treasure. In troublesome times, in a troublesome world, surrounded by enemies on every side, but thank God for peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for being here and worshiping today. And we'll see you this at if you're going to Canton at 1:20. Amen. We'll see you at 6 o'clock this evening, 5:30 for prayer. Service begins at 6. And after the service, fellowship and food and our Thanksgiving dinner. God bless you in Jesus' name.